Coming to you from the kitchen/podcast studio on the south coast of England in Brighton, this is the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge Podcast, your go-to hub for no-nonsense content and absolutely no false promises of passive incomes or getting rich quick. So settle in and join your host, Des Hamilton, to find out exactly how to say goodbye to being poor and hello to being rich. Sponsored by Cellaram. Sourcing analysis simplified.
Oh, hoi, hoi. Welcome back to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge Podcast with me, your host, Des Hamilton. Yes, I'm that guy. Still the guy that I was when I started September 2022, only with a smoother beard because now I can afford nice oil products. That's not even true. I don't know where this stuff comes from. Look, it's so great to have you back. Truly, truly, truly grateful to you all for coming back, for spreading the word, for getting us the traction that we've got us. I really, really got into this so I could help build this community of online money makers. Whether we were newbies at the start, if you've been with me since then, we're not newbies anymore. And if you are on your own journey, the sooner you can flick that switch from calling yourself a newbie to a entrepreneur, business owner, Amazon seller, affiliate marketer, whatever path you chose, start faking it to make it. I've done a post on this. It's in my drafts. It's going to come out soon, but I'm fed up with this negative connotation. Oh, he's just a faker. Yeah. Yeah, because a faker is somebody that is imprinting a successful person on themselves, making themselves act in a certain way to achieve that status, and they will get there if they fake it for long enough. Ask yourself, how do you try and get to sleep at night? Right? It's the only thing you can do. You have to fake being asleep before you can be asleep. Isn't that crazy? I love that little phrase. Anyway, I'm going to keep this short and sweet this week because our interview with Jason is fairly long. I've edited it myself and I didn't want to cut much. Even though there was no structure to it like I usually do, and even though there was no general back and forth in terms of questions and answers on this one, I found with Jason that the interview plan went out the window. We are on the same path. We started at the same time. And what's amazing is that we started on different sides of the Atlantic using different models of selling on Amazon in different marketplaces. Yet we have so much in common that underpins everything that we do at that operational level. Strip it back. And we have adopted this mindset as a consequence of this journey that he and I have both been on at different paths in different countries at different times in different models. We have both developed now this mindset when it comes to money, when it comes to our self-belief, when it comes to this concept of who we are, when it comes to our limitations of what's achievable at our age in the time that we had available to us when we were in our full-time jobs. It's quite amazing, really, to see how similar Jason and I are, despite the massive differences in our operational activity. So what we do on this conversation really is just talk about that and the changes we've implemented and the things that we can do to help people that were in our shoes 6 to 12 months ago. I won't say any more than that because I don't want to ruin the interview. In terms of my week this week, again, it's been very heavy on community building. People are starting to take notice. And when I say people, I mean big, big hitters are starting to take notice of what we're doing. And I love it. I love it because we are this generation of people that have potentially not been spoken to before. I still can't find many people out there that are talking to the 40-year-olds and above. And that's what we are. We are the people that have been told that the internet is something for young people. And it's not. It is inclusive. The opportunity out there is inclusive and it is for the taking. I tell you what, I'm going to pause it there. I've got so much I want to say about the print on demand journey that I've just started. I've got so much I want to say about the mindset changes that I've actively gone through since I've started therapy in the last few weeks. But I want to save those for future episodes. That's the future. Let's talk about Jason today. Let's get the interview up and running. Before we get into that, I just want to say thank you again to our sponsors, Cellaram SaaS. Truly, truly brilliant to have you on here. So proud of that. Let's get into the interview. Roll it.
I think we are very much the same between our two countries, where in the States, there's a very like entrepreneurial spirit. Mm. And I think there's a type of thing with the American mindset that if you're dealing people with, you're dealing fairly with people, they'll deal fairly with you. And there's this promotion of like from way back from decades ago, like the American dream, you can show up and build your own business and be your own person and make your own money.
Exactly right.
Whereas that's not a thing here. Like that's not, the Canadian government hates small business. There is no benefit to owning a business in Canada. Yeah. Like any of the partnerships I have are with people in the States, and we're running US LLCs for them because yeah. there's tax benefits, there's programs, there's grants, there's benefits to having your money in the States. And then there's ways to recoup some of the taxes, right?
Yeah.
In Canada,
yeah.
Much like the UK, I imagine. As soon as they think you're making more, they just want to gouge more out of you. So
of course they do. Everything is, yeah, it's insane. But you're dead right. I love that about the States, that they do have that individualism entrenched in everything, even in their sport. I mean, imagine over here, if there was a game of football and then the man of the match drives off in a 4x4. It doesn't happen. No. It doesn't.
No.
Even in team sports, they pluck out the individual and go, that's the guy.
It's MVP.
MVP, yeah. And it's just, it's in everything they do. And fair play to them, because it drives so much entrepreneurialism out of it. It really does. But over here, we're so entrenched in team. Yeah. It kind of, it's a different way of life.
And not that it's always about like a selfish return, but at some point in time, you have to be able to look after your own, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so that's now more than ever. I think there's so many people that are finally realizing, like when you and I grew up, you kind of had this idea that one, the government would look after you. That was kind of their
job. That was a wake up call, wasn't it?
Funny that. and two, you would get a job and that job would look after you. You would look after their interests and they would look after yours and they would make sure you take care of. And that's just not a thing. Like that's not a thing. My son is old enough that when he had a job, he got his first job out of high school. He was in the trades. He's an incredibly intelligent kid. He's not a book kid. Like he's very much hands-on, wants to learn. He went to trades in high school and we got him into an accelerated learning program where he was able to get into university level mechanics programs at a university that counted towards his high school graduation. So he actually got a bit of a head start. And the first job he had was at like a tire shop and he hated it. He was obviously working for not enough money because that's why minimum wage exists. So they're legally allowed to not pay you less. And he just didn't like it. And I told him like, you only need to be as loyal to your job as they are to you. And there's a couple times now where they've said that they'd put you on more apprenticeship programs so you can do better work and make more money and develop your skills. And twice now in 6 months, they've fallen short and just not done it. So you owe them no loyalty. They're not providing you with any growth opportunities or more money. So you don't have to stick around if you don't want to, if you hate it that much, right? And I told my wife early on with both kids, like if they don't pick up anything from me other than like how to manage money, because I didn't learn that till much later in life. Like when I was growing up, money was none of my business. Yeah. Like for us, that it was just, you didn't talk about, like your parents didn't talk about money in front of the kids. It was none of your business.
No.
Which did us a very large disservice, I think.
Yes.
To a degree, right? There's a reason we're just getting started with this now. And he was looking at getting on with an aircraft hangar as a apprentice aircraft mechanic. And they didn't have any positions open, but he had heard kind of through the room mill they were looking at it. And I said, just go apply. Just go tell them, like, you'll push a broom until they have an opening.
Yeah.
And he did. And that company loved him. He showed up and he pushed a broom like there was no tomorrow. He worked his ass off every day doing whatever crap jobs they had. They told him, be the guy that's the best doing all the crap jobs, not the one who's playing on his phone all day, and you will get opportunities. And so inside of 6 or 8 months of that new job, pushing a broom, he got bumped onto a prep team doing paint jobs for custom aircraft, for like small aircraft. And then shortly after that was bumped on the mechanics team, where he was an apprentice aircraft mechanic.
Good for him. That's amazing.
But just by showing up and putting in the work and having a little bit of, you know, an industrious attitude. Since we've moved to the East Coast, that company was starting to go under. So he moved with us because it didn't look like it was going to last very long. The new ownership wasn't doing very good.
Yeah, fair enough.
I've started employing him I hired him to work for my company. So he does some of my like administrative work. He does some work for one of my partners, helping us run operations in China. He's 21 years old, and he's helping with international operations for like logistics.
That's unbelievable.
And I'm paying him enough that he understands that you can make more than $20 an hour, right?
Yeah.
That you can leverage time for far more than an employer is going to give you just showing up and putting in 9 hours a day or 10 hours a day, right?
How's he finding it?
Loves it. He works like 3 or 4 hours a day. He gets paid drastically more than anybody else he knows. And the best part is he's a valued employee. Like, in addition to being my son, all the nepotism in the world, he's not employed because he's my son. He's employed because he does a very good job.
Like, yeah,
he's used to working as an aircraft mechanic, where if you make a mistake, horrible things happen. Like, you know, right. So, but he takes that same degree of care with anything he works on for me. So I don't have to check in with him at all. Like, I kind of lay out, you know, every week what kind of needs to get done. He follows up if he needs help with anything, mm-hmm. and otherwise work gets done. Right.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. And this is one of the driving things that makes me want to do what we do. It's that my daughter is 10 and she's already learning how to edit videos. She's just playing around on CapCut and stuff. So I throw her a video from time to time and say, go on, edit that one for me, just as a hobby. But she loves it. And it's an education that she would never be getting in our system.
No. What, like, how many schools that you've ever heard of teach you how to file your taxes?
Yeah, none.
Like, that's not none. A thing. I remember in like grade 10, you're still coloring maps to learn about what the part of regions of Canada in for the 10th year in a row. And you're learning about wars that were fought in another country that nobody cares about, has no relevant impact on your day.
No.
Why don't they teach us how to file our taxes or how to keep more money in your pocket when tax time comes, right? How to apply for grants for new businesses, how to set up a business. Like, none of these things were taught. There's some courses nowadays where you can get that done in high school.
Yeah.
But they're so rare, right?
They really are. They don't even tell you what difference in bank accounts are on the market, what a mortgage is. You know, it's insane. It's insane how blind you are as you sort of step into the real world. But it's all right, because maybe you can join the fire service. You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah, like, one of the next components of program we're developing for the FBA Boss Academy is to do with credit applications. Because
yeah, great idea.
You know, it's how to apply for business credit. Like, if you ask a room of 100 people off the street, how many of you know how to build a business plan to get a credit application done? Which is not what a lot of people think, where you're like having to really prove the case with the banker. You just have to tick the right boxes to demonstrate you're doing business correctly.
Exactly right. But people are terrified of debt because there's so many negative connotations around it, and they won't touch it with a barge pole. Mm-hmm. It's the same way that people looked at fats in the 80s and their mm-hmm. diets. It's yeah. that all of a sudden, debt is a thing that you can leverage to your advantage. But you need to understand money in order to do that. And it took me far too long. Yeah. It took me far too long. Everyone's read The Rich Dad, Poor Dad in this space. And I'm willing to bet everyone that's listening to this podcast has already read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. But I saw an interview with that guy, and he basically went, so he's Rich Dad, which drives me mad, by the way, because his Rich Dad isn't his dad. It's his mate's dad.
Yeah.
And his poor dad is the one that strived and brought him up. Thanks, mate. thanks for writing that book, pal. Anyway,
yeah. on the which guy am I in the title?
I know, yeah. So this is a nice book about me. What the hell? Yeah. That's unbelievable. But what he said is he's Rich Dad. All he does is basically play real life Monopoly.
Yeah.
And there we are, been playing Monopoly all of our lives, but that's what he done. He buys property. He then turns them into hotels. Yep. That's his life. You think, man, it's that simple. It can be that simple, but we're never taught that.
So there's a thing in the States that they call infant banking, where effectively it's not as simple as all the gurus make it seem, right? You do need to have money to develop it, but effectively you are investing in a cash return life insurance policy, like really, really simple terms. You take out a life insurance policy that has whatever the net return is if you happen to pass, but that's not the relevant component. The relevant part is, you can dump as much money in as you want and get cumulative gains on that through interest. But you can also use that insurance plan to basically loan yourself money as if you're your own bank. Huh. And interest paid compounds on top of the interest in the account. So you're paying yourself interest, right? That plan does exist in Canada. It took me a year and a half and talking to 11 different people to find a single person in an industry who had any clue what I was talking about. And finally, it was the difference between talking to I had talked to banks, a bunch of different banks about setting up something like this. And I finally talked to a guy who, he set up his own firm. He was doing private, like health insurance, that kind of thing. But he also did investing on the side. So they have investment plans, money management. And I shot him an email one day. I'm like, have you ever heard of this? And he's like, I actually just set up an offering and got licensed to sell those types of plans in Canada. And he goes, I think I'm the only guy in the province that can do them or knows what they are. Like, this is a plan where you can invest money in your future. And if you pass, the money goes to your family, right? So it's a life insurance policy. But it's also a plan where you can use your own money to leverage getting more money from what is effectively your own bank.
Wow.
In like, extremely simple terms. It's not obviously that simple. But
yeah,
rather than going to a bank and being like, hey, can I please have enough money to scale my business? And then be like, well, I don't know. Like, here in Canada, when I incorporated my business last year, I looked at moving some of my personal debt to the corporation to start building credit with the corporation, and was told flat out, it doesn't matter how much money I'm making, the corporation hasn't been in business 2 years, I can't apply for credit. It's like, well, what good are you? Like,
yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, I can open a US LLC through one of the corporate partners that we have and get business credit lined up inside a few months.
Yeah.
Why am I having 2 years to be able to scale my business through that? It's like, I guess I'll keep using my existing cash flow, I guess. Like,
yeah. Well, just incredible, true, isn't it? What's amazing, Jason, right? We've been chatting for nearly an hour. This interview plan has gone out of the window.
We haven't asked the questions, have we?
None of them. But it doesn't matter. Talk us through the Boss Academy. Talk us through what it is you offer.
There's two sides to it. The TikTok account that I have is primarily troubleshooting. It's people are wanting to get an Amazon Space private label or are already in there and just run into a problem. It's a lot of just me answering questions. And a lot of the stuff that I talk about in videos where it doesn't have a little bubble for like a question somebody's asked are often questions that have come up in the academy.
Yeah.
So the FBA Boss Academy is, it was started by a guy by the name of Kevin Pack, I think 3 years ago. And a guy that he just knew and bumped into and, you know, started to listen rapport with, Kevin Kunze, decided to partner up and kind of push this program where it's just curriculum on learning how to sell private label. And so both of them are seven-figure sellers. The one Kevin does primarily like a lot of toy products, and the other one does primarily supplements.
Yeah.
And they have a bunch of other SKUs in amongst other businesses they partner up with. And some of them are built as like test cases because they have enough money to be able to build like a test case product. They'll start a new account, new business, and just demonstrate that you can scale a product very rapidly if you kind of know what you're doing. So when I joined on with them, it was very much a program at that point in time. Which always has issues with legitimacy, right? People always see these programs as being kind of scammy.
I did.
I signed up, and for the first few months I was going through it, I'm like, well, it all makes sense in my head, but I'm also a very skeptic person. So I'm like, it might still be a scam.
Yeah.
Until I got my first check from Amazon to the tune of about $3,000. And I'm like, I guess not.
That's amazing.
If it's a scam, they're doing it wrong because I just made $3,000 for selling a product that I've never handled before in my life, other than when the first one showed up to the production sample I got.
Yeah.
And so after I joined them, with having a background in like international trade, import regulations, and having done a lot of project development, I came on as a coach and mentor to help them kind of run the program so that new students coming in. The idea originally was they didn't have anybody that was Canadian for like kind of like Canadian centric business because stuff up here is totally different in the US.
They're based in the States, are they?
Yeah. California, Texas. So.
Okay.
They didn't have anyone to support kind of their Canadian members. So that was part of the merit of me coming on was more Canadian support because things here are totally different.
Yeah.
That very rapidly progressed into me just coaching generally for the academy and then doing like weekly coaching calls on Zoom with anybody that wants to attend. And the first project that I started for them was just talking to them. Like somebody had reached out to me one day because they didn't know if the shipping rate they had on their product was a good rate or not. And I kind of did some napkin math and they were paying about $7 a kilogram. And for those that aren't in the know, that is that is so insanely high. It's not even funny. That's like double the average rate from a supplier. So international freight is based physical weight or volumetric weight, whichever is higher.
Yeah.
Based on how much space it takes up in a container, really, right? And you pay a per kilogram rate to ship your goods from China to the US. That's how it works. After talking to that person and coaching them, like, hey, like that you are getting massively ripped off. Go into Alibaba's logistics section, start looking for other shippers so you can get a reasonable price. Like $2.50 to $3 a kilo is somewhat more reasonable. And if you grind on them for a deal, you can get much lower than that. So I pitched to the guys. I'm like, what if I build a shipping platform? What if I reach out to a Chinese shipping agency and I build a shipping platform where all the students can ship their freight? And knowing that there are things in the world like buying groups where you can effectively, it's much more corporate and like high-end trade, but you can in large enough business buy into purchasing groups where you basically purchase freight rates on either a monthly or an annual membership.
Yeah.
And so this is modeled after that idea, but minus the buy-in. You just get access to it for being part of the academy. And that was the first thing that I built for them that was extremely successful. And that started me doing kind of project development with the academy. So the push this year is to go from a program to a full-blown agency. So right now, in addition to the curriculum, when people show up, if they sign up for the academy, they get access to, I think we've got 4 coaches right now, including myself, doing like weekly Zoom calls where anybody shows up anytime they want and just ask whatever questions you have. So the curriculum, there's the open Zoom calls, there's access to all the service platforms that we have, some of which are included, some of which are paid because it costs money to run them, right? So there's a set product research criteria that they use to find niches that are ideal for private label, that are low competition, high revenue, have a good midline revenue so that even if you're picking up crumbs in that niche, you're still making good money. They have a low cost per click, which is vital so that it doesn't cost as much to advertise as some product.
Right? Yeah.
You get access to all that criteria. When you sign up, one of the things the guys noted early on was that one of the hardest things for people to do is to find a good product to sell, even though that's step number one in all the courses, find a winning product. And so that's included. You sign up and you get your first selection right there. So they tell you, here's the thing that you should sell. Here's the niche that you should sell in. And then it's up to the student to develop that product, like how to differentiate it, how to, source it, deal with it. Yeah. But they get told, like, here's the market you should be selling in because there's room for it to scale, right? We've built a listing creation studio in China that I co-own with a buddy. So you can have your listing and images and copywriting all done in a studio in China that's significantly lower cost than North America. We are building, it's in beta right now. There's a product sourcing platform that connects with a corporation in China that does product sourcing. And all of these operate in the same umbrella that for a lot of the external services, I'm kind of the client. And so I get 26, I think it's about 2,600 members currently. They all get treated as one client for the benefit of purchasing product, shipping rates, that kind of thing. So they all get treated as one much larger business to get big rates when they're 20 years old, starting in their basement, selling the first product, right? So it gives them a big leg up with profitability. So instead of paying $7 a kilo, the current average for our shipping platform as of January was about $1.27 a kilo.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
With rates, the lowest rate I've seen so far was 60 cents a kilo. Which it's literally saving individual people thousands of dollars. And across the entire academy, I pulled a report a couple months ago. At an average rate, we had saved students about $2 million last year in shipping costs.
Mate, that must be so rewarding for you.
It's fantastic. It's really cool. And of all the things we've developed, some are flashier, like some are more interesting and entertaining. They're cooler things.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm happiest with.
Yeah.
Because it makes it so much easier for people to develop a private label product, right? Just having one of the largest costs is going to be shipping with your product. Having that reduced by upwards of 80% is a night and day for people being able to scale their products and become more profitable long term and quit their day jobs, which is the goal.
And it's one of those hidden costs that you wouldn't necessarily consider when you think about being an Amazon seller. Yeah. Someone says, oh, you need that for barcodes, you need that. And then all of a sudden you need that for shipping and freight. Oh, mate, that's amazing.
And so for the people that aren't in the know, maybe haven't watched many of these podcasts or don't know what private label is, the idea is you're developing a thing, which is a really cool experience. Private label sellers on Amazon make up a humongous portion of the money that Amazon does. Mm-hmm. And one of the complaints is all the time is that, well, the market's saturated. Amazon is very saturated. Amazon has posted growth of like 43%+ for the last 5 years. They're the global retailer. Amazon.com has between 1 and 1.5 billion visits per month.
Yep. Every 18 seconds.
Yeah. Right.
A product is shipped every 18 seconds. That's not a click. That's a sale.
That's a sale.
Yeah.
But private label sellers have only grown between 10 and 12% the last few years.
Is that right?
There's a distinct gap in how many people are coming to the space to sell product and how much market demand there is, to the point where in 2022, I think it, the Bezos had a, was talking at a press conference or whatever, an interview, and was talking about how one of the challenges with Amazon in the next 5 years was finding enough people to sell products.
Really? So
when the guy who owns the platform is like, hey, we kind of need more people selling, it's hard to argue that it's a saturated space, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There are obviously niches that are saturated. And
it's the low-hanging fruits, Jason. It's the easy to find stuff. It's the deal sheets out there. It's the lead lists. It's those things, the Discord groups that throw out what you should be buying in Costco. It's that sort of stuff. It's,
yeah,
like, I talked about this on my course. There are 90-odd million Prime account customers in the world.
Wow, okay.
And there are, yes, it's something like that. I'm going to, if I've got this wrong, I'll put it in the show notes. But there are 9 million Seller Central accounts. Now, if you scratch beneath the surface of that 9 million, there's only 2.7 million that have anything in their inventory. So there are,
oh,
yeah. So there's only 2.7 million active Amazon sellers worldwide to a market that big.
It's insanely low. I'm a numbers nerd a little bit when it comes to some of these business things. I had no idea it was that low. That's insane.
I'm going to go away and check that I haven't just made that up off the back of a cigarette packet or something like that. Yeah. And I'll message you and let you know. But if it's wrong, I'm going to edit it out and then edit myself saying the right numbers back in.
Yeah, just overlay it, right? A little nonsense. And this is the thing. Like, there are products. I'd written down 4 or 5 product ideas. You know, I'm gonna start selling stuff. These are great ideas. I'm gonna knock these out of the park. Be the king of these niches. They were all garbage ideas. They were the worst idea. Like, now that I know how the metrics work for finding good product selections, every single one of those would have lost me money. Like, every single one was a bad idea.
Is that right?
So for all the people who want to hack on courses, there are a lot of scam courses out there, bad courses. There's also courses that provide benefit. And for anybody watching this who wants to get into a space in any type of e-commerce area, the ones that are winners are ones that provide ongoing support. There's people that I know that run different courses to do with Amazon. And the thing that makes them better is that it's not just a curriculum you're buying for a couple $1,000. You're not just getting some YouTube videos and like a couple of PDFs, right? You have the ability to interact with a person who's able to help you troubleshoot your business when you're not sure about the next steps or if something has gone sideways, right? And that's my day-to-day. Most of my day-to-day, which is the interesting thing about Amazon as a business, most of my day-to-day is coaching with the Academy. That's what I spend probably 80% of my time doing. I logged my hours last year for how much time I put into Amazon, just out of curiosity, like just for my own sake. So I started off with the cost of enrollment for the Academy in 2022. And I started off with $7,000 US for product shipping, listing creation, all that. With that $7,000 as a starter, last year if you include my Canadian revenue, I broke it, but my US revenue alone, because I sell in both countries, my US revenue alone, I did $100,000 in revenue, just shy. It was like 99 and change, at a 38% net. And that, my total time logged working on my own stuff was 58 hours for the year. Like,
that's insane.
You tell me a job where you could be at home in a pair of gym shorts and make like, it's like $650 an hour.
Unbelievable.
Like, and it takes developing skill set. It takes education, it takes learning, and it does take work. Not like all the people say that, you know, it's completely passive. There's work there on the table. There's 58 hours. But work compared to some of the stuff you and I have done, it's not 3 a.m. I'm not wearing 25 pounds of kit. No. I haven't been at work for 24 hours. I'm in a pair of gym shorts on my phone talking to a supplier in China about making a change to a fabric. Like,
yeah, that's it. But on top of that as well, every decision that you make in your business, you know, X means Y, A leads to B. In the old job, you're carrying out tasks and decisions thinking, I don't think anyone would notice if I didn't do this.
I worked on a project of which the nature of which I can't disclose, but the project was founded on international intelligence that indicated a global shift in something. that's very vague, but enough to know that there was like a, it's a Canadian reaction to a global occurrence.
Right.
Not even a month later, it was updated to be like, well, that's not actually going to happen. We thought it was, it's not a thing. But in that interim, a project was started to address how would these different parts of the agency react to doing that. And so for 6 months, and to the tune of about 40 hours of overtime, in addition to my regular time spent on it at work, I worked on this project on taxpayer money for to plan for a result that everybody knew wasn't going to happen. It's like somebody telling you, you know, tonight, oven's going to light on fire. You better go buy a fire extinguisher. Then the guy being like, well, you know, it turns out I was totally wrong. Your oven's not even on. Silly mistake. And then still going and spending $1,000 on fire extinguishers for you and the whole neighborhood. Like,
yeah.
But being your own boss, I know exactly where my energy is going and how much work I can put into a thing or need to put into a thing to generate a return.
Yeah.
And in the last year, like yourself, I'm sure as well, having tested some of the things that you've tested, you've probably found as well, there's things that are, they're fun to do and they're lucrative and it makes sense to do them. And there's a benefit versus things where, you know, this is probably too much work or I don't like doing it or the return's not enough to invest the time in it.
Yes.
But at least you can make those choices yourself.
Exactly right. Exactly right. It's so empowering to know, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And you don't have to answer to anybody. And the simple, but why not? I just don't like it. Yeah. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, but, like, and you lose some of the security. Like there's nobody paying every 2 weeks. If everything goes to hell, then, you know, you're might be in a bit of a bind.
Yeah.
But at this point in time, I know that people like you and I who have a little bit of entrepreneurial spirit and a bit of work ethic, like it's not that hard to do something else that you can just learn and leverage your more effectively, right?
No, that's exactly it. And it all comes down to knowing that we had to put the graft in for a sustained amount of time and earn our stripes. We had to. And we were willing to because we had that flip switched. Hang on. That switch flipped as better in our head. And that was enough. And you can understand. I'll tell you what, it always reminds me of that scene where Tom Hanks is trying to leave the island on Castaway. And he knows he's got to get over the coral. It's exactly the same. It's just you've got to deal with that because then after that, you're laughing. Everyone knows you need money to make money. Everybody knows that. It's a universal truth. But it turns out you can take something as small as 200 to make it make money.
Well, see, and this is what I love about like our kind of our parallel journeys, right? I actually talk to people about you fairly frequently.
That's nice.
A couple of things that like one, not to hack on our age, but we're older than the average demographic getting into this space.
Yes, we are. I like your grayness in your beard.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm actually 27. part of the process for me was getting over like, am I just too old to start doing something new? Like I'm almost 40. Is that too late in life to make a change? It's absolutely not. It turns out I actually have a lot of skills that I've developed over the years. And just changing your mindset to where you realize that these things are attainable. And for yourself, like, you start with 100 pounds and within a couple of months, you're going to be so far past your original intended goal. And that I think is one of the best messages about your platform in particular is that you probably, when you set that initial goal of like 100 to 100K thought that 100K number was kind of insane.
Yes.
Right. Like that number seems so insanely large. It's unattainable with such a small investment up front, but now having put the work in, it turns out that's actually maybe easy.
Yeah. Like, That's the I remember thinking, me and my wife, we sat down, we looked at the numbers and went, in about 15 months, we need to invest about £50,000. You know? Yeah. She went, well, can we just take five off at that point? Maybe. Yeah. We'll have a chat. Let's have a chat in a year and we'll think about what we can take out.
But that's the best part, though, is that you've positioned yourself to be in a place where you can make that decision, where you have that choice, right?
Yeah.
If it comes to it, something comes up, right? There's a problem with the car, there's a problem with the house, and we need $5,000 out of that, out of the money we're using to build our plan and push this journey. We have the option to do that.
Yeah.
Money might not be able to buy you happiness, but it can create a lot of security, which tends to take away a lot of stress. Well, it scales up so much more quickly than I think a lot of people expect, right?
Yeah.
Like last year, so I launched, and they're not all wins. Right. Like I launched one product 2022. I launched three products last year. Two of those products I've just sold out of it. I'm not relisting because the markets have changed and they're not as profitable as they were. It's a sports product. They were making about $27 a unit and sold very well. But after some market changes and some advertising cost increase with Amazon, I basically launched into like a premium part of that niche above kind of a budget part of the niche and was making like $27 a unit. That premium part of the niche has kind of settled into the budget portion.
Okay. Yeah.
So I can keep selling that product, but after advertising costs, it's like a $7 net per unit. I could just take my money, invest into a different product that makes me another $27 a unit for the same amount of work. Right.
Yeah.
But last year, one of the reorders I had to do on a product triggered my Amex repayment. Cause if you have an Amex charge card, there's no limit, but once you kind of hit certain benchmarks, they want you to pay the whole thing off. And I hadn't had one in a while. I'd had one at $5,000 and I'm like, well, this, you know, it's fine. I can pay that, whatever. And I had to buy a new phone and I bought, or I paid for a reorder on a product that was $16,000 for a reorder, which was the largest amount of money I think I've spent on anything short of like a car.
That's incredible, like, isn't it?
And that triggered the repayment. And so I had I had to pay $18,000 on my Amex by the end of the month. And I'm like, Oh my God. But I had the money there. Like I'd been profitable enough with product that I could pay that and just rework it back into the cash flow. There's never been a time in my life where I'm like, someone's like, hey, we need 18 grand by the end of the month. And I would have just had a coronary and gone to the bank. Like, please give me a loan to cover this money that I need to cover. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, you have to kind of adjust your mindset to start working in larger numbers where those numbers kind of make sense. And we're very much trained to believe that those numbers are so large that, you know, it's a really big deal.
Yeah.
There are people whose credit card bill for restaurants are like 50 grand a month.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's the biggest mindset shift that we've had. Exactly that. It's that relationship with money as, it's not to say change. That's probably not the right phrase. Evolved is probably a better way because it happens without you knowing it over days. And when I say days, I mean about 1,000 of them. It just slowly changes. And all of a sudden you find yourself in dealing with these numbers day in, day out. And it's only when you step back and put your old shoes on, you think, Jesus, man, what the hell has happened to me?
So some project development sign up for one of the platforms that my partner and I launched. I was talking to my wife about it and she's like, well, what's that going to cost? I'm like, well, it'll probably cost like 20 grand. We'll pay like 20 grand for the deposit. And that'll be another 40 grand over the next 3 months. We'll just pay it out of revenue and it'll work and it's fine. And she's like, how much? It occurred to me with such casual ease, I'd throw out these numbers that are just like insane numbers to me. That like it was a jarring experience to realize that I kind of involuntarily scaled to a point where I'm working in tens of thousands of dollars for these businesses, not taking a return. There's just reinvesting constantly to build them.
Yeah,
but just being able to say like, yeah, I know we'll pay 40 grand over the next 3 months, and that's something we can actually do. Like that's a feasible option. That's inside the books to get that done, right?
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest messages I picked up early on was from one of the Kevins talking about mindset. And this is definitely something that you've done, whether you are conscious of it or not, is changing your mindset from money being a scarcity object, that there's just never enough of it. And if you want to do something fun, you want to take a vacation, you need to get a new car, you want to buy better groceries, go to nicer dinners, you have to find someone in your life to cut back, right? Or work more hours to save. And if you take that mental energy and you just focus on, and this sounds really dumb, like when I say this to people, they're like, well, yeah, obviously. But if you can just start thinking, instead of how am I going to save money in a scarcity mindset, think about things in a more entrepreneurial mindset. How can I leverage my time for more money? What can I do to make more money so I can do these things in the same amount of time I currently invest in myself? And
I can't agree more. I was mowing the lawn yesterday and I had an audio book on and it was You Are a Badass at Making Money by Jen Sincero. Yeah. And she says almost exactly that. And you're dead right. And it was a realization that I do think like that now.
Yeah.
And it's one, and it goes back to what we were saying earlier. Never really appreciated how much money there is in the world just being thrown about. And it isn't a scarcity object anymore. And I've been living that way. And I refuse to anymore. It's not anymore.
We're trained to believe it is. Like we grew up knowing that money is something you got to put in the time and put in the hours to get what little bit they'll give you back.
Yeah.
But be that way. And it sounds incredibly obvious. Like people be like, oh yeah, duh. Think of, you know, how can I make more money? But once you start changing how you look at money as a tool and something, if you know, when I started doing that, I started thinking like, well, if getting my Amazon business to these steps, instead of worrying about things or what am I going to do to make, you know, how to make ends meet. If I take these actions and change how I feel about these things, I will net a better return from my new Amazon business.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where now, having kind of lived in that space for like 14, 15 months, anytime I'm talking to people about business, I'm immediately plotting out, how would I do that?
Like, exactly.
How would I build the thing that they're building?
Exactly.
There's a couple of projects in the States right now I've seen online that I'm like, I bet I could build one of those in like a month. Because it doesn't seem that complicated, knowing the logistics of the money and the people involved and the product involved. Like I'm sure I could do that. And it's not really that hard. Like having, you know what I'm talking about when it comes to like CEOs, you're talking to like people that own massive corporations, which those are just imaginary figures to most people. Mm. But when you start talking to some of these people who are in charge of corporations that do hundreds of millions of dollars a year, they're just regular folks with regular interests. They've just done a better job of positioning themselves to be successful.
Exactly right. And it gets to a point, no matter what your job is and what, no matter what sort of stage in the business you're at, you kind of just find yourself in problem solving mode, don't you? Yeah. So if you think, well, I need that much money, all of a sudden you've articulated clearly the exact amount of money you need to solve that problem or the exact amount of things you need in place. And before you know it, you've developed a roadmap in your mind to get you there. And then you are finding yourselves on it, whether that's manifestation, law of attraction. I said, funny enough, again, it comes back to that book that I was listening to. She said, you can't go into a deli and just ask for a sandwich. It's not detailed enough. You need to know what exactly it is you want for you to go and get it. And it sounds so stupid, mate, but I spent the best part of 30 odd years not knowing that.
No. And it sounds incredibly obvious. This is the dumb part, is it sounds incredibly obvious and even naive to be like, well, yeah, you just think about ways to make more money and you will. But most people have some type of skill or talent or knowledge that if they thought about it in the right context, at their job, is there a thing that you could invent that you could streamline a workplace and take a cut? My two favorite things for ways to learn to make money, is there a process where I can save people enough money that they're more profitable and on a better track, and I can drop in a small cut for myself? Or is there something I can do that make rich people richer, and I can embed a small cut for myself? And like you're talking with your like affiliate money through TikTok and that kind of thing, a lot of those add up very quickly.
Mm.
You don't have to be making 10K a month from one thing when you're first starting out. There's a student in the academy who I really like. He's a really hardworking kid. He and I haven't talked quite a bit, and he got into a program where he's doing like TikTok marketing for a few companies. And he just threw it out there and reached out to somebody that he knew that was kind of in that space to be like, how can I do that? And inside of 6 weeks, he's now got enough contracts that he can still go to school full time. He doesn't have to work full time hours while he's doing it. He just does like TikTok filming 3 hours a day, and he's making enough money to have spending money and pay for his tuition. Because he just thought of like, how can I get into this space and start doing it? And companies are willing to throw money at people to do that thing.
Yeah, yeah. But that might be a good point to well, I'm not going to say stop it, Jason. I'm going to say pause it, because I think there's leverage, mate. I think there's leverage for us to check in from time to time.
I don't think we covered any of the questions you sent me.
We didn't. But so whoever's listening to this, they're going to have to come back the next time you're on. To actually cover the first interview that we were meant to have planned.
If anybody takes anything away from this conversation, if you were just able to change your mindset a little bit,
yes,
and try to leverage a skill and get into e-commerce, you will find it's much easier than we've all been led to believe it is to improve your life tangibly, right?
Nailed it. The opportunity is far bigger than we ever dreamed. The community is far friendlier than we ever dreamed. And exactly that. It's just a switch in your brain. But in saying that, you've got to rewire 20 to 30 years of programming to figure it out.
And you'll find that once you get into those spaces, everybody else wants you to win. It's not like your regular day job where there's people trying to. So there's a joke. We'll wrap this up with a joke. There's a joke from the Smartless podcast, right? And one of the actors who's in it is Canadian. And it's kind of a Canadian thing with actors going to the States. And it actually applies a lot, I think, to a lot of people's lives. It's, you got a Canadian and American, they're making a lobster dinner. And the American is like, hey, you got to put a lid on the pot or they'll get out. And the Canadian says, no, these are Canadian lobsters. As soon as one tries to climb out, the rest will claw them back in. They'll be fine. And that's a space a lot of people in the world occupy, where you start, like, you try to work your way out, and there's so many people telling you it's not going to work that they just don't get started. But if anybody watch, if one person watching this interview, this conversation, takes that leap and gets started, then this entire thing is a net gain for the world.
Yeah.
It's something to improve their life, right?
Love it. Love it. Mate, beautifully poignant and a great way to end it. Thanks for coming on. Really, really good to actually meet you properly, Jason. Have a chat. Even though we're on different parts of the world, mate, we are meeting up for a beer.
Yeah, we are.
Now, I listened back to that myself today. I loved that interview. I really do. I don't know why I'm calling it an interview. It was a chat. Two Amazon sellers on different parts of the world having a big old natter about Amazon. I can see already, just in the conversations I had with Jason, Jason's going to be a friend of the show. I will bring him back here once a quarter, twice a year, however many times it takes, as long as we've got something we want to talk about. I can easily see Jason as somebody that I will keep in touch with for a very, very long time, because he's clearly a great guy. He's clearly very altruistic, forthcoming with his knowledge and his experiences. And when he reached out to McKevins and said, look, I can help you in this field, wallop, he got it done. And when he realized that there was a discrepancy in the freight charges in China, and he said, look, I've got the power of a community behind me, I can drive down costs because I've got this community and we can buy in bulk. A community is everything. Networking is everything. As I said before at the start of the show, people are starting to take notice of this community because we are strength in numbers, and we can all understand that there is room for us. We can all make it. We can all support each other, and we can all live a much nicer life without needing to be snipey or political. We can get there. Now, there are networks that are echelons above where we want to be in terms of status, money, reputation, but they all started somewhere, right? So keep doing what you're doing. Let's keep building this and growing this community. Enough of that. Let's get to the tip of the week.
Tip of the week.
Get to know whatever software you're using. Now, I talked about this on my print on demand post. I'm going to be talking more and more about SellerAmp in the future and going into depth about what that software can actually do, because you'll be amazed how many people just use it to scan things. It does so much more than that. Helium 10 is another one. We had Shivali on a couple of weeks ago. You'll be amazed how many people use Helium 10 because they've seen it on a course and they just tap away doing the very things that the course tells them to do without exploring what else Helium 10 actually does. So do me a favor, whatever software you're doing, go into it, go to the help section or the academy section or the training section or the university section, whatever they want to call it, and learn it. Because there could be something embedded in that software that helps you find products, whether you're sourcing arbitrage or whether you're sourcing, looking for wholesale products using a Helium 10 or a Jungle Scout. Start learning your software, because you'll be amazed how many people don't. And the fact that you do sets you apart.
Tip of the week.
Right, that'll do it. Long show this week. Next week, we have got Ben Sellology, who is a print-on-demand specialist. He's a guy that I've reached out to, and I've asked him to be my mentor, so we can speak to Ben about the print-on-demand journey he's got. After that, we have got Lydia, who is a manifestation and a confidence coach. She is unbelievable. And I'm going to start putting posts up on my TikTok or my Instagram so you can see who Ben and Lydia are, and you can give them a follow, and you can see in them the same things that I saw in them. Anyway, so in the meantime, bring in the music, bring in the voiceover. Do me a favor, keep spreading the word. Let's keep building this, shall we? That will do. Enjoy the week. Clocks go forward this weekend, by the way. Get some shut-eye. Ta-da, see you later.
You've been listening to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge podcast. Be sure to join us next time for more real talk and undoubtedly terrible jokes as Des gets ever more closer to saying goodbye poor, hello rich. Sponsored by SellerAmp. Sourcing analysis simplified. Hey.
Just a little reminder that this podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. It cannot and does not constitute any form of financial advice. We know things are tough for a lot of people right now, so if you need assistance organising your money, please seek the help of a qualified financial advisor. And if it's all getting a bit too stressful, please make sure you talk to someone. Remember, you are not alone, and it's okay to not be okay.